This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Hoss Spencer is the founder and editor of The Hook online at readthehook.com, and he joins me live in studio. So snow tonight, you know this, is coming, right? Not a big deal. Flurries. Snow showers, they say. What's the difference between a snow shower and a flurry? I was trying to explain that to my daughter the other night, and I threw my hands up. I'm like... snow showers is like rain that looks like snow, but I don't know. Well, then what's flurries?
That is a really good question.
Is that like partly cloudy, partly sunny? It's sort of the same thing?
I think there's a little wiggle room in the weather in the forecast.
Do we have a meteorologist in the house? Is somebody listening who really knows this? What is the difference between flurries
and
snow showers?
And maybe they can also tell us why the National Weather Service has all these different products where they'll issue like an advisory or a hazardous weather outlook, which is what they've issued for us tonight or this afternoon at 2:17 p.m. They issued their hazardous weather outlook.
Sounds sort of lame, though, doesn't it?
Well,
it's like one of those terror alerts. We're at orange or something like that. You know, it's like, what? What does that mean?
Yep. Light snow is possible late tonight and Saturday morning.
And Saturday morning. I'm supposed to have a windshield replaced tomorrow. You know where they come to your house and take out your windshield of your car and put in a new one? They're not going to be able to do it.
Dude, if it's just a little flurries, they can do it.
I hope so.
They can do anything these days with them newfangled machines.
So are you going to write the Fourth Amendment on your chest and go to an airport and get naked? Is that your plan now?
That's my plan now. No, that's not my plan. That is a local kid's plan. He made big news.
He did. We talked to John Whitehead in the last hour, and the Rutherford Institute's going to represent him and possibly even file charges. John Whitehead was saying that the thing that upset him the most was not that he was arrested, but that he was interrogated for 90 minutes what possible terrorist organization he belonged to.
And he was on his way to his grandfather's funeral.
You're kidding.
I'm not kidding. That's what the kid Aaron Toby was doing. He was leaving the Richmond International Airport, RIC, as they call it.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
So what are your thoughts on that? You're not going to be writing any part of the Constitution on yourself? What amendment would you write on your body, Hoss Spencer?
Well, I don't know. Could,
probably the First Amendment, I guess, as a journalist.
Hold on. The Fourth Amendment says that people shall be free from unreasonable searches and seizures.
The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated.
Right. So the government contends it's perfectly reasonable when you can secret bombs up various
orifices.
You know, I was trying to dance around that. Yeah, I mean,
I don't know how to dance around anything.
Yeah, well, let's not dance around any of your orifices, Coy. I'll leave that to others.
It's 5:12. We're talking with Hollis Spencer. Fun Fridays, 977-1070 is the phone number. You got some big news just posted at readthehook.com about the latest in the Justine Abshire murder case.
Yeah.
Alleged murder. Her husband arrested, a special grand jury indicted him. He has appeared in court today for the first time in Courtney Stewart.
That
was
yesterday. Yesterday.
Was it yesterday? Okay.
Yesterday. Yeah, actually, there were a couple other reporters there, including, I think, the Newsplex. And Eric Abshire was wearing handcuffs, leg shackles, and the orange and white striped uniform of the local jail up there in Orange when he made his first appearance since his December arrest.
I'd never want to wear them, but the clothes do look a little comfortable. They look like
They look kind of thick, you know?
Look thick?
Yeah, I kind of like them. They look kind of like they've got some substance to them.
It looks like the exact clothes you want to be in if you're going to spend the day like on the couch. You know, watching movies, playing video games, eating some popcorn.
Yeah.
Eating stuff you probably shouldn't be eating or drinking and just chilling. Yeah. They look like chilling clothes.
Are they good for working out in the gym?
I don't know. I've never been in those clothes. I'd rather see him wearing like work clothes.
You like the orange jumpsuit?
I like the work gang idea. Mm-hmm. I don't like the idea that we pay all this public money and they just sit there and they watch TV and they hang out. I mean, I've toured some of these prisons. They're literally just sitting around.
I see.
Most of the time. Or they're playing basketball.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have any problem. Get out and clean the road. I think that's a terrific idea.
Well, I don't think this fellow's been convicted of anything just yet, Coy.
Well, then I guess you don't really want him cleaning the road then. He's alleged.
Alleged.
At any rate, he claimed that he was absolutely broke and didn't have any money for an attorney or any defense. And
yeah, he was.
He got assigned one.
He did get assigned one, a Charlottesville attorney named Charles Weber. And but this case has been a long time coming. I think it was like 2005?
Yeah.
Oh, no, 2006. November 2006. Sorry, got that wrong. When his wife's body was found on a quiet country road, ostensibly the victim of a hit and run. And it's been the subject of a lot of media attention from coast to coast.
Yeah, because her injuries don't look like hit and run injuries. It looked like she was beaten to death.
That's what one expert did, in fact, say.
Yeah. So now you and I don't want you to shed your journalist robes here.
Yeah,
I don't want
you
shedding any robes
around my orifices.
Yeah, don't shed any robes, Hawes. But you've spent the last 20 years watching these kind of cases come and go. How do you think this is gonna play out?
Well,
you think that he's gonna be found guilty?
I
mean, odds. If you were a betting man, if you were a betting journalist,
you know, I'll tell you if I were. Please let me just talk around the issue because I don't want to bet. But, I mean, you had a case.
Talk around, dance around.
You had a case where a dump truck driver married a Hollins girl and then, according to the prosecutors, killed her. I mean, she was from a affluent family.
Yeah.
And
and a beautiful young woman. I mean,
gave up all her friends to be with this guy who was. He has family of his own and. Children and
but not an affluent young well-educated young man.
Doesn't seem that way.
Yeah.
According to the lawsuit, he conspired with other parties. The family has waged a lawsuit last year, a civil suit.
Yeah, yeah.
And some might argue that helped push
somebody's going to crack.
Well,
there had to be other people involved in this who knew what was going on. I'm just playing armchair detective here.
Armchair detective Coy Barefoot.
And I think somebody's going to crack. I think that's probably one of the hopes and the intentions of this indictment is that now you can start putting people under the hot white light and saying, all right, let's talk here.
Yeah, your buddy over here.
Your buddy over here says you were doing. What did he say? You kind of be.
He's the one who did it.
Yeah.
when I did this.
Yeah. Yeah. We're talking with Hawes Spencer, 5:16 on the clock. Before we take a quick break here, there's also latest news that you just reported regarding and WINA has had this as well, regarding alleged murder of Yardley Love.
Yeah, the Commonwealth's attorney sent out a press release today, 5 new charges for George Wesley Hughley V.
Is it Hughley or Hughley or Hugley? Or Hughley? Or Hughley?
I don't know, Coy.
Somebody better come forward and tell me how to pronounce his name. Hughley. I think it's Hughley.
I think it's Hughley.
Hughley?
With the silent G, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, you get too much
They don't
education.
Return my phone calls.
So he's got, excuse me, additional charges on him.
Yeah.
Ouch.
5 additional charges.
That dude's going to jail.
He's been in jail since May 3rd.
He ain't never getting out. Can you imagine? You one day you're just walking on the grounds of UVA. And the next day, you're in jail for the rest of your life.
Coy, it's not exactly a lightning bolt if he did what they say he did. It's not like he was just like, oh, what's this? The rest of my life? Oh, hey, no, you got it all wrong. I'm rich.
No, he sounds like a monster, actually. I mean, and I've said this before, if this guy did what he admitted to doing, and it's proven, this is why we build prisons in this world. This is why we build them, for somebody like this.
If he did what the Charlottesville police detectives say he's already admitted to, which was slamming his ex-girlfriend's head repeatedly against the wall.
God. Oh, man.
And the medical examiner said that she died of blunt force trauma. And then his lawyers went to court last month and said, well, maybe she died of her own Adderall.
Yeah.
Like, just conveniently at that moment, her Adderall
kicked in and killed her. Isn't Adderall this drug all these kids are taking these days, this like study drug?
Oh, yeah. It's an extremely popular drug for the treatment of attention deficit hyperactivity disorder.
And even the kids who aren't diagnosed with it, they pick up and they share these drugs like, hey, I got to stay up all night and study or something. Give me one of them Adderalls you got. What I hear.
There has been some reported misuse of Adderall.
But the kids aren't dropping dead in the libraries. You see my point? There's a whole lot of kids in this young generation taking this drug, and they're not dropping dead left and right.
Well, you know, that's one of those things that you would figure the jury would say that he... What am I trying to say?
I don't know, Hawes. What are you trying to say?
I don't know. One time, remember one time a Charlottesville jury actually a juror claimed that a beloved local firefighter might have died from some other reason instead of the fact that he was stabbed 18 times by a UVA student named Andrew Alston.
That happened on 14th Street,
didn't
it?
That also happened on 14th Street.
Oh, man.
And a juror gave an interview to her college magazine where she said, well, we thought that, you know, there was so much alcohol being drunk that night, he might have died that night anyway.
Oh.
I mean, where do these rumors of...
Where do these jurors come from?
Yeah.
That's what I want to know. This is Charlottesville Right Now, News Radio 1070 WINA. I'm Coy Barefoot. And this is my radio voice.
You're like that homeless guy. you're totally that homeless guy.
He's coming up next.
You're like,
did you hear that story?
Did I hear it? It's been all over all the news constantly. I saw it on CBS this morning. They had him in studio hugging his mom. And his mom was on TV just like the day before saying, he was a good boy until he went wrong with the drugs and alcohol. And now they're reunited, and he's like, Mommy. And it's really sweet.
That's so funny.
And his name's Ted Williams.
Ted Williams.
Just like the famous baseball player.
Yeah.
And, you know, somebody made a video of him, and this voice was just so...
He's just a homeless guy who's like, what, 93 years old or something?
No.
That?
His mom is like 90 or 90.
Oh, so he's 90. Like, what, 71 or 61 or one of those ones? Anyway, here he is.
Hey, I'm going to make you work for your dollar. Say something with that great radio voice.
When you're listening to nothing but the best of oldies, you're listening to Magic 98.9. Thank you so much.
That's God after you're getting the money. Thanks for the money.
Thank you. And we'll be back with more right after these words.
There you go.
Wow.
The velvet voice. And you know what? The only thing that sucks about this is there's a lot of guys in this industry who are making their tapes, sending them out, uh-huh. trying to get this work.
Uh-huh.
And this dude just... He nails it.
Well, he.
So the route to success is a median strip.
No,
with a cardboard sign.
No. He actually was a successful voice guy in the past.
Oh,
but
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he ran.
I thought he was like a 7-Eleven dude or something. Never been in radio.
No, he just ran into hard times with drugs and alcohol and messed up his life. And
as people are wont to do, Hawes.
As people are wont to do, we don't all get a second chance, do we?
It looks like he got a second chance. And you know what? This is like a book or movie written all over it, doesn't it? Or is it like a one-trick pony?
Who knows?
It might be like over in the first 10 minutes.
Dude, there's already a Wikipedia.
How many times can you say this? You know?
There's a Wikipedia page already on him.
You're kidding. Of Ted Williams, the homeless guy with the velvet voice.
It's called Ted Williams Announcer.
And we'll be back with more right after these words.
There you go.
Well, see, you know, one of the more... equally interesting parts of this is, you know, like a web producer, a guy who was just trying to fill space on his newspaper's website, shot this film of Ted Williams 8 weeks ago.
Yeah. And that's smart. And I've told you this a million times. I think every journalist should have a video recorder on them, or just even better, just a little flip video thing that you could just whip out and, you know, just throw it up on your website.
Coy, I've been carrying a little flip recorder around for like 5 years, and I have... never encountered somebody.
You've never
with a
encountered
voice
the
like
homeless
this.
Guy that says.
And we'll be back with more right after these words.
it's like the kid who takes a baseball mitt to the stadium. It's like I'm gonna catch that ball when it comes out in here in left field, and then the manager is gonna sign me up. I tell you, sign me up.
And it never comes.
It doesn't.
Or if it comes, some big fat guy spills his beer all over him and knocks him out of the way.
Do you remember that one? It was like 4 or 5 months ago when the guy was carrying like a tray full of big beverages and he's walking through the outfield.
Golden beverages.
I don't remember if they were golden or sugary sweet. But anyway, he's holding the beverage tray in one hand and this huge like either home run or foul ball comes flying his way. And with the other hand, he just catches it.
You're kidding.
Didn't spill a drop.
I totally missed that.
No, you and I talked about it one day.
We did?
Yeah, but you didn't see the video, so it didn't create such an impression on your mind.
I hit 44. I don't remember nothing, Hawes.
No, you remember stuff, Coy.
I don't remember that, but that sounds fantastic.
Yeah,
did you ever catch a fly ball? Did you ever take a glove to the ballpark? Were you one of those kids? Be honest now. You were?
Yeah.
Where? In Richmond?
New York Mets.
Big time.
The now demolished Shea Stadium.
You were in Shea with your little glove.
Yep.
Little Halsey Spencer.
Yep. I was waiting for Willie Mays or somebody to hit one out.
Did it ever come?
It didn't come.
What'd you do?
But I got to see Willie Mays, like, the last.
What's that feeling, walking to the car
baseball
after the game with that empty glove?
It's fine. You don't really expect.
I guess when you're a kid, that's part of going to the ballpark. You just take your glove.
You take your glove. You're part of the drama.
And so you saw Willie Mays.
I saw Willie Mays.
Big fat guy.
No, he's not fat.
Oh, no, I'm thinking of Babe Ruth.
Yeah, that's the fat guy.
Yeah. So, Babe, Willie Mays, you saw him. It was impressive. It sticks with you. You always remember it.
Oh, yeah. Willie Mays, and, you know, he's still alive.
Get out.
No, I'm not kidding.
We need to play a little Dead or Alive here tonight.
He hadn't even turned 80 yet.
Willie Mays. I put him on my list.
Alive. Alive.
Willie Mays is alive. Good stuff. Fun Fridays with Hawes Spencer. You were just doing a little research during the break. See, you're a working man, Hawes. You never just... People need to know that when you're sitting in here, you're always on your laptop. There it is over there.
I like learning.
You are a learning man, and you're while we're talking, you're literally always your Wikipedia. You're doing this. You're doing that.
Huh?
You're the man.
Okay.
What did you learn during that break?
A little bit more about Ted Williams. That when he was trying to fly to New York to reunite with his 90-year-old mother, he actually didn't get there on the day he had hoped because the TSA stopped him. Because he didn't
have something written on his body or something?
Exactly, no. He didn't have enough ID. Guy's been homeless for
a while. Well, he's homeless. You can't expect him to have ID. Is that maybe a sign that identifies himself as a great radio voice guy?
Yep. I mean, I know. I guess the TSA agents hadn't seen that viral video.
They need to check it out.
And don't forget, tomorrow morning is your chance to win a pair of tickets to see this man live in concert.
So what's the latest on this dude?
So then, when he's on the Today Show and the early show...
He got some hair on him, doesn't he?
Well, he cut the hair immediately after.
He should have left that on there. That was great.
Well, no, he's cleaning up, man.
I was digging that hair.
I wonder if he saved the sign. Think how much that sign is worth right now.
Oh,
I'll bet you he'd
be in the Smithsonian with Archie Bunker's chair.
Exactly. I'll bet you he threw that sign away. Oh. What do you bet?
I bet you he made like a new one every few days.
That's what I'm thinking. His old signs would be worth a lot, but especially the sign on that video, I would think would be worth a lot. And when he was on the TV show with, what do you call it?
Brian Gumbel?
Yeah, one of those things. One of those morning shows.
Yeah.
He actually did the intro stuff.
He did the same stuff he did on the video.
Like the voiceover, yeah.
Yeah, this stuff.
I'm hoping one day, watch Family Guy, weeknights at 7:30 on Fox 28.
And he's been offered a house and a job by the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
And that's amazing.
And he's already apparently signed up to do something for Kraft Foods.
Wow.
And Quicken.
You know, once upon a time, I was on the lawn maintenance crew at MacDill Air Force Base in Tampa, Florida. True story. And I worked with a guy who was a homeless guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he would show up every morning and like mow with us and then go back to the streets and drink. Fine. And he had lived on the streets in Tampa for a long time, in Atlanta for a long time. And he was the nicest guy in the world. And he told me this story. He didn't have a tooth in his head. And he said once upon a time, when he was on the streets in Atlanta, Georgia, he found a wallet just full of money, like hundreds of dollars.
Uh-huh.
And I asked him what he did. And I'm thinking to myself, I know what you did. You get this sweet hotel room. You got room service. You put your feet up. You turn the air conditioning on. You know, I'm thinking that that's what he wanted to do.
Right.
And he said, are you crazy? No, he said, I kept every street person on my street drunk for a week. He said, we stayed drunk for a week.
Nice.
So this guy, evidently, hopefully nobody's giving him booze.
Yeah, we don't want him to go
back. Or
his
drug of choice.
Yeah, we want him to stay clean.
It's going to be a good movie, though.
Could be.
Oh, you know it's going to be a movie.
Born in Bed-Stuy.
Bed-Stuy. What's that?
Bedford-Stuyvesant, part of Brooklyn.
Where? In Brooklyn?
Near Flatbush.
Oh, do you know that area well? Is that your old stomping grounds?
Only because it's near Shea Stadium.
So Channing hooks us up with this website that finally answers the question, what is the difference between snow flurries and snow showers? This thanks to the good folks at Yahoo. Do you know that was still around?
Yahoo's still around?
Yeah.
What about Lycos? Are they still around?
I don't know. Lycos. Sounds like something you catch.
What about Valiant America?
I got Lycos. I got to go to the
Lycos
doctor.
All over me.
I got to go to CVS and get me some salve. I got the Lycos.
Salves, balms, and creams.
Remember Alta Vista back in the day?
Yeah, that's what I used.
Yeah, yeah. Alta Vista, long time ago, back in the mid-90s. That came after Netscape. Yeah. Right?
It was Netscape was a big IPO. Everybody freaked out.
And you like searched there. You searched it Netscape. Navigator, right?
No. Yeah, you used the Netscape Navigator.
It was
as
the big
browser.
But there was also a search.
Oh, was it really?
I think it was. And then came Alta Vista.
Yeah, I used Alta Vista.
Yeah.
But it had a pretty picture of like a mountain or something.
Yeah.
A snowy mountain.
And then came the folks at Yahoo.
Okay.
And then came the Google,
yeah.
I think that's how it went.
Yeah, Yahoo's still pretty popular. People always say they see stuff on Yahoo.
And they're answering questions about snow, evidently. Snow is the white, cold, flaky stuff. We all know what that is. Snow flurry is a light, intermittent snowfall without any significant accumulation of snow on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
A snow shower is a short duration of light to moderate snowfall. Snow showers are characterized by their sudden beginnings and endings. They are finite. They usually leave snow on the ground, but not always. And snow showers come from cumuliform clouds as opposed to stratiform clouds.
Okay.
Now we're getting too
complicated.
Yeah, indeed.
Guess how many inches of snow they had at Snowshoe yesterday?
Like already on the ground or additional fresh snow?
Actually, 6 inches of new snow, according to a tweet from somebody up at Snowshoe today.
So sweet skiing at Snowshoe right now.
Sweet skiing.
3.5 hours, you think? How long did it take you to get there? Because I know you go there all the time.
I can get there in 2.5, no problem.
Oh, Spencer, you're driving too fast.
No. You just got to go through Monterey and Vanderpool. That's the way.
So 64 to 81 north to 250 west.
Correct.
And through Monterey. Yeah. I went caving there once. Unforgettable.
Really?
That's one of the funnest things I've... One of the funnest things I've ever done in my life.
Caving?
Is caving. And that's what they call it. The real people who do it.
They don't call it spelunking.
No.
I went spelunking.
That was the first thing the guy told me. Don't call it that. It's caving.
Yeah.
Funnest thing I've ever done in my life. Incredible. The light on the helmet. You got the outfit that you can roll around in and get all muddy and you climb the rocks and everything.
Sounds great, Corey.
So cool.
I'm going to let you monopolize
bats,
that one.
Really little bats flying around, the little brown ones.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, great. You've never done that? I don't think that you would have done that.
Mm-mm.
You're an adventuresome guy.
I found a dead bat on the side of my house a few weeks ago.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Why did I find him? Because I'm eagle-eyed and I'm cautious. No, because I think he got a wing caught between a light fixture and the cheesy Hardy Plank siding of the house.
You're kidding.
I'm not kidding.
And he got stuck and died?
Got stuck and died.
Do you feel guilty, Hawes? Do you feel bad?
I do feel bad.
You took a little bit of nature away from itself.
Dude, he died... I wasn't there. I actually was the one who installed the light fixture, but that happened like 3 years ago.
What's the statute of limitations on death from an installed light fixture?
I don't know, but I do feel bad.
What'd you do with him? You just threw him in a garbage can, or did you call the kids out and bury him?
I just threw him in the yard.
In the yard? You didn't even put him in the garbage?
I figured some animal come eat him.
Yeah, the foxes will come around.
Yeah, they'll enjoy a little.
You got a lot
crunchy.
Of foxes in your neighborhood.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Goodness gracious. So you want to play a little, before we play a little Dead or Alive, and we'll take a break before we do that.
Okay.
What's the latest on your cover story in this week's Hook?
Well, people are...
About Biscuit Run. It's a huge story, and it's only going to get bigger.
People are enjoying reading that thing. There was this state park we're going to get, but there's some kind of ironic aspects to the state park. Number one is there's still a right for somebody to develop 100 houses in the middle of it. So it looks like sort of a botched state park as state parks go.
Yeah.
It caught everyone off guard, even the officials at the state. And unfortunately for the taxpayers, it's going to cost like at least triple what they told us it was going to cost back when they did the deal, when outgoing Governor Tim Kaine announced it in January.
When he said, this is such a deal for us.
Yeah, right now the cost to federal and state taxpayers could be over $30 million because one of the things that people don't really understand about the big boy world of donating is if you sell something to a nonprofit or to a state entity for less than it's worth,
quote unquote,
right?
Yeah,
then you've made a donation.
What are these called when you do this?
There ought to be a special name. They're quotation marks.
In the air.
In the air.
They're called hash marks? But what is it actually called if you raise your hands up and do the little...
I think people...
Like quotes in the air.
People always just have to describe it. There ought to be a name, like he jiggle-knotted or something, you know?
I wonder if there is a name for that.
There should be.
Because you're basically taking the phrase or the word that you're saying and you're making it ironic.
You're saying that there's something questionable about it.
Right. So we say, the
donation.
The value.
I made a donation to the state.
Right.
So the way you find a donation is you find an appraiser who's willing to give you the value that you want. In this case, the donors found an appraiser in Orange who was able to put her name on a piece of paper. And a licensed appraiser said that the property was worth
almost $90 million. Sorry about that. Yeah,
that's the appropriate noise. Yeah. I think that it was worth like $88 million, which is almost double what these people paid for it at the height of the real estate boom. And then saddled it with all kinds of proffers,
yeah.
But mostly saddled it with the fact that it was residential property now.
So the way I describe this is if I have a house that's worth, and it ain't, I can promise you, if I have a house that's worth $1 million.
Yes.
And I want to give this house to the state.
Yes.
And they want it.
Yes.
And I get somebody to appraise the house for $100 million.
That's what I recommend. Yes.
Yes. And I find an appraiser who's... Yes. Good at their job and very ethical.
That's right.
To say it's worth $100 million.
That's right.
Then I have basically just donated $99 million to the state, and I can get tax credits.
Yes.
And it's like the state's giving me $99 million back.
Yeah, and you can write it off your federal taxes too. And go, I made a charitable contribution
of $99 million. It's so incredibly ethical, and it's certainly not egregious whatsoever. My gosh, this is unbelievable. This Biscuit Run story is just going to, it's unbelievable. It's so incredibly, what I know about it, it's just so incredibly egregious. And I don't know if a crime has been committed. Certainly you have to wonder about the appraisal that was done that said this place was worth $90 million when VDOT goes out and says, we think it's worth about $12 million.
That's right.
At the most.
That's right. VDOT got kind of wrestled into the deal by finding out that it needed to put up almost $5 million
money. Tim Kaine reaches into the VDOT kitty.
Yeah.
Says, yoink, thank you.
And somebody at VDOT said, well, you know, before we throw our $5 million in this deal, we're going to get an appraisal, see if this land is worth anything. And it came back at just $12
million. Yeah.
Which, given what's happened to the residential real estate market, especially the undeveloped property market.
Yeah. Somebody needs to go knock on the door of this appraiser in Orange County.
Maybe they
will. A camera, like a Newsplex or a Channel 29. Do one of those. Excuse me, we got a question. You know, where they follow him to the car.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Like, how could you possibly say this Biscuit Run land was worth $90 million when the state said it was worth $12?
That's a good idea.
Like, what were you possibly factoring into your decision?
Corey, you ought to be in the news business. you're smart that way.
Let's play.
Ding, ding, ding. What do we have for her, Johnny?
All right, it's 5:48 on the clock. Hoss Spencer is live in studio, getting the weekend started off right here and right now on News Radio 1070 WINA. What are you doing this weekend? You going out to dinner? You gonna have some food somewhere, some kind of restaurant?
No, I'm just doing nothing.
You still going to Bizu all the time?
I did go there today.
Of course you did.
It was the first
of course
time.
You did. You
first...
go all the time.
No, it was the first time in a really long time.
Oh, no kidding, really?
Yeah, long time, like weeks.
And you're like a special guy. You always get the specials.
I get the specials.
Like you always look forward to it.
I look forward to seeing you, Coy.
You know what that I learned recently, and I was sort of upset? Bizu has one of the best chicken Caesars in town,
mm-hmm.
but they don't offer it at night. It's just a lunch item.
Maybe.
I went in for dinner, and I wanted that chicken Caesar. I was so excited. I'm going through the door. We sort of nod to the kitchen guys. Hey, you go back, you get your booth. You give me a little iced tea. I was so ready for that chicken Caesar, and she said, oh, no, that's just at lunch.
Hmm.
I said, well, can you hook me up? No. So I was very disappointed.
I see.
All right. So let's play a little Dead or Alive. Earl Hyndman, he's best known for playing Wilson, the Taylor family's wisdom-dispensing next-door neighbor whose face was barely ever seen on the TV series Home Improvement. You remember that show?
I remember,
made a star out of a guy named former cocaine addict. What's his name? Tim... Johnson?
No.
Rotherberry?
No.
What is that guy's name? He was in Santa Claus. Very funny movie.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, that guy. Tim Roscoe or...
No.
Bosco or...
When I hear Wilson, I think of the volleyball that played such a vital role in Tom Hanks' sanity in that Castaway movie.
Yeah, did you like that movie?
I did like that movie.
I sort of half liked it. It was okay. It was all right.
I like the way his body was kind of flabby and soft when it started, and then it was muscular and lean.
Oh, yeah, he totally changed.
Yeah, and you know how they did that was they filmed the opening scenes. Well, I might have this reversed. They filmed part of the movie with him being, you know, flabby.
Yeah.
And then they just, like, put the production on hold and said, go work out.
Really?
Or maybe it was the other way around. Maybe it's like...
He walks in decent shape, and they filmed the last part of the movie.
Yeah, I think it...
And the first part.
Yeah,
oh, no.
I don't think Tom Hanks was by nature a heavy workout guy, so I think it was the flabby Tom Hanks first, and then they said, get thee to a personal trainer now.
Oh, you know, Tom Hanks produced that John Adams miniseries.
Did he really?
I think he had something to do with that. Yeah, I just rewatched that. I got it for Christmas. Mm-hmm. Man, that's good. That's really good. Mm-hmm. Tim Allen is his name. He was on Home Improvement.
Of course.
And Earl Hindman played...
Oh, I'm supposed to answer your question.
So is Earl Hindman, the guy who played Wilson, not the ball, mm-hmm. but the face over the fence, is he dead or alive?
Alive.
He died 6 years ago at the age of 61, a little something we call cancer.
Ouch.
Yul Gibbons taught people about which common plants could be eaten for food. He was the author of Stalking the Wild Asparagus and other very famous books. He was very famous for his Grape Nuts cereal commercials. One of the very famous guys who created the whole Eat Healthy movement. Yul Gibbons, is he dead or alive?
Dead.
He died of a heart attack, probably something he ate, at the age of 64 in 1975. Mm-hmm. Klaus von Bülow was accused of trying to kill his wife, Sunny von Bülow, with an overdose of insulin. The resulting trial and appeals were the basis of the movie Reversal of Fortune. Sunny von Bülow is obviously dead.
Actually, no. You know what? She just died like a couple years ago.
Oh, she didn't die from...
She lingered forever.
Really?
Yeah, because it turned out that Dersh, who's kind of one of my heroes, Alan Dershowitz.
Yeah, you like his books on tape, don't you?
I do. He handled the appeal in that case and found that not only did she not have an illegal administration of insulin by...
Klaus,
but her coma was probably induced by her own drug addictions.
Oh, but everybody thought he did it.
Well, because he was kind of like a rich tool who was like always cavorting around places like Palm Beach and fancy places with rich ladies, and he didn't seem to have much of a job, and he probably still doesn't.
Yeah,
but Klaus von Bülow is still alive, and he did not put his wife into a coma, according to the courts.
But is he dead or alive? Himself.
Oh, he's alive.
Oh.
Yeah.
He is indeed. He's 84 years old. Olivia de Havilland, very famous for playing Melanie in the movie Gone with the Wind, which, if I'm not mistaken, is what, 1938?
Coy, I'm going to stop you right there. I love when you repeat one from
a few. Did I repeat that?
I think you did.
Oh.
She's alive.
She is alive. She's 94 years old.
Yeah.
Olivia.
I could have let you just keep going, but.
How about Maureen O'Sullivan? She's famous for having played Jane in Tarzan movies and also appeared in the movie Hannah and Her Sisters. What is that, Woody Allen?
I think you're right.
Yeah, that's actually a good movie. Yeah. I don't like all of the Woody Allen movies. They're sort of grating on my nerves, but some of them are pretty good.
Have you seen Vicky Barcelona or whatever that one's called?
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Ricky, Vicky, Mickey, Dennis Kulwicki.
I'd like to see this movie, The Fighter. Have you seen that with the guy who played the guy, you know, the guy from Boston?
Is this his new one?
Yeah.
I haven't seen it.
It's called The Fighter. It's a true story about this family. Mm-hmm. It looks pretty good. By the way, when you do this, Channing tells us it's called the ersatz quotes or air quotes.
You know, when you say you do this, how does the radio listener know what you're doing?
They know exactly what I'm doing. They know me. I got my fingers in the air.
The donation, the charitable,
it's so ethical.
There you go.
Yeah. You know what burns me up about that whole thing? Is it's just like TARP. I mean, it's just like the guys on Wall Street that there's this idea in this country that if you're wealthy and powerful, you should benefit from business decisions that go well, but you should never suffer any kind of penalty if you make a horrible business decision.
Yeah,
and the public should bail you out to make sure that you never lose anything and you never get any kind of – your company is still alive. You still have tons of money. that will actually give you public money to make sure you stay wealthy and powerful. And that, I think, is what happened in this Biscuit Run deal.
It's called socializing risk. That's what the Wall Street guys call it.
That's exact. And privatizing gain. I mean, that's what we do for the rich and powerful. We socialize them.
It does happen. Now, I will say that there are some times when the rich people who own stuff lose everything when their company goes bust. It does happen.
Oh, yeah, absolutely it happens. But that's not an example here.
It's not.
Boyd Tensley, Corin Capshaw. What all this, the groups that got together here and bought Biscuit Run.
Yeah. They knew what they were getting into.
They
knew
what they were
crash.
Doing. Why did they get like all tens of millions of dollars in public money because they made a bad business decision and they could actually make money on a horrible, horrible business decision. At any rate, Maureen O'Sullivan, she dead or alive?
What's she famous for again?
She was in Tarzan.
Oh,
she was Jane.
Dead.
She died in 1998. And the last one we have for you, Hall Spencer, is Ken Osmond. You know who he is?
One of the Osmond Five.
Nope.
The Osmond family.
Nope.
Oh, I know who Ken Osmond is.
Of course you
do. He's that's a nice dress you've got there, Mrs. Cleaver. He's Eddie Haskell.
Eddie Haskell, indeed.
But you know what I found out? I read some article recently. It was like a year ago, actually, in The New Yorker or somebody that said, you know, you can't just go around and say to the 30-year-olds of the world, oh, this guy had all the sincerity of Eddie Haskell. They'll look at you like,
who's Eddie Haskell?
Exactly.
Yeah, it's fallen out of consciousness.
Yeah, you've got to say something.
It's like dial telephones.
He's got the humor of Tim Allen's head on a fence or whatever that guy was.
Is Ken Osmond dead or alive?
He's alive.
He is indeed. Way to go, Hoss Spencer. There you go. I hope you have a wonderful weekend.
Thank you very much,
and thank you for being with us.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.